Thankful for that. This morning, we are going to dig in, dive in, and talk about false prophets. Ooh. But before I do that, I want us to remember. So last week, kind of tag teaming with Derek in a way, my husband Derek, he talked about the narrow gate. So I'm just going to really quickly remember what he talked about last week. That was in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So he talked about how there are two ways, and he had us like say it with him, two ways. There's a way that leads to life and the way that leads to destruction. And so what do we choose? We choose life, right? We choose Jesus, and we choose that narrow gate, that narrow path. But how do we stay the path? How do we stay the path? Well, Jesus gives us a warning in the scriptures that come next. He's like, there's this deception that happens, and I don't want you to fall into it because I want you to stay the narrow path. That's what Jesus tells us here. So in Matthew chapter 7, we heard it already. I'm going to read it again. Verses 15 through 23, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit." Like, that makes sense, right? That just makes sense. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And that last part kind of makes me want to cry. It's really sad. Can you imagine being before the Lord? "Lord, I did these things. And then to realize there was a problem. We're going to find out about that. Now, it's important to note here that Jesus warns us about false prophets. So if there are false prophets, there must be what? True prophets. True and false, right? True and false. So he warns us about false prophets. True prophets are good. These are people. Prophets are people who speak the words of God. So these prophets can prophesy, but a prophet can be someone who ministers the words of God, who preaches the words of God, who shares the words of God. These are the prophets. So true prophets are a blessing to others, and they speak the words of God, and specifically they're speaking the words of Jesus that Jesus gave to us. So because everything that Jesus spoke, where did he get that from? He said, "Everything I speak, comes from my Father," right? And all those words, they lead to the Father, the true prophet. And the true prophet demonstrates not just the power of God, but his truth and his character and his kingdom to those around. True prophets are filled with the Spirit of God. So on the day of Pentecost, we can read in the Bible, this is in Acts chapter 2. So Peter, he stands before this bewildered crowd because they're hearing all these people. They're talking in like other languages. These disciples are talking all these languages and they're prophesying. And the people are just like, what's going on here? And Peter says, Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, he's like, these are from the words of Joel. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy." So what this is saying, this is the prophecy here. It's saying, this is on everybody. This pouring out of the Spirit. So no one is too proud to, like it says here, pour out on everybody. So you can be someone of a high position or someone of a low position. It talks about servants. It talks about men and women. It talks about older people and younger people. And like on all of these people, God will pour out his spirit, it says, in these last days. That's good news for like all of us, right? That's good news for you and for me. God will pour out his spirit. So this is what it says here in the word. And Peter brings that back to remembrance. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. Guess what? This is still happening today. God pours out his spirit on us. And I'm thankful for that. But Jesus did tell us to beware of false prophets. So not everybody who says they dreamed a dream, and not everybody who says they have a vision, or not everybody who has a prophecy is prophesying by the Spirit of God. Amen. So let's look at this. Well, let me just say the false prophets. These are people who are deceiving others, right? But who are often deceived themselves. They're often deceived themselves. So that's just an important thing to note. Let's look in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. It says, "For since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes," talking about God, "are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they," the people, "are without excuse," no excuse, "because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God." They did not follow after God. They did not do the will of God. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. I think that's interesting. Nor were they thankful. Are we thankful people? "But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And professing to be wise, they became fools." I'm going to go ahead and skip to verse 25. It says, "They exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So what has happened here is a deception. And how did this deception come in? Well, this deception came in because of perhaps not following after the will of God, not being thankful. This is maybe a desiring of something within yourself, having a desire that is not of God. Having your own desire, your own will. And so a deception then takes root there. And these people exchange the truth of God for a lie. It can happen so easily. It can happen so easily. So, talking about the false prophets. The false prophets, they're deceived, and they deceive others. They are not always easily recognized, though. I mean, if they're a deceiver, they're not going to be easily recognized. Guess what? They come in costume. And the costume is sheep's clothing. It says in verse 15, they wear this disguise of sheep's clothing. And in Matthew 7:22, we find out, it says, "Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?" So what is the sheep's clothing? They're looking like they're part of the sheepfold. They look like other Christians. In fact, they're saying, "Did we not do these things in your name?" So they're doing these things in Jesus' name. They are prophesying in Jesus' name. So this isn't someone who's just like really fringe and you're like, oh, they're just saying this is Ubalakinga or something, like some weird name. You're like, oh, this is the name of this person. No, they're doing this in Jesus' name. They are prophesying. And so they are deceptive and they're hard to realize. And we should be on guard because Jesus told us to be. We should not just accept everything because it seems good. Because it seems Christ, it seems like Jesus, because they say they're Jesus. No, we have to be discerning. We have to be discerning. So outwardly, these false prophets look like Christians. They look like people who are Christians, but it says that the Lord does not look at the outward appearance. What does the Lord look at? He looks at the heart. We see in 1 Samuel, I love this, 1 Samuel 16, this is Samuel's going and he's going to go choose the next king. Verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king from among his sons.'" So Samuel goes, verse 6. "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" Surely. But he's looking at this outward appearance. You would think that Samuel wouldn't make mistakes. Now, Samuel himself is a prophet. And we know that he hears from the Lord. We can see it in scripture. He hears from the Lord. Surely he wouldn't make a mistake. But he just sees him and he's like, "Whoa, surely this is the Lord's anointed." I think we can often do that. We just see someone, we're like, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." But we look on the outward appearance. But here he does hear from God. And this is what the Lord says to him in verse 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Amen. This all of a sudden seems difficult though, right? Because if we can't look at the outward appearance, someone's claiming to be Christian, they're claiming to hear from God, they're claiming these are the words from God, how then do we know? If we don't see their heart, if God sees their heart, but how can we see their heart? I think this can be kind of scary sometimes, and we kind of wonder sometimes, we might falter and think, can we believe anyone? I think maybe this is why some people are like, "Oh, there aren't even true prophets." They're just like, let's just not believe anybody, what anybody says, because they're like, "I don't know how to discern," right? "I don't know how to discern." I would share a little story. There was a time in my teens, my early teens, or I'm sorry, my late teens, actually, I wanted so desperately to just have direction. I wanted so desperately to have the direction of the Lord. And during this time, I mean, I probably never had so many prophecies in my life as I did during that time, because I was like seeking out the Lord, but really I was seeking out prophecy because I just wanted someone to tell me what to do. Really, I was just seeking, and so many people had a word here and a word there and and places, even where I worked, you know, it wasn't like here in a good environment. This is like outside of the church. I was just looking wherever I could find a word because I needed so desperately some direction. And I really doubted myself as being able to hear from God myself. And so I was looking in all these other directions. Until this one person had a word for me. And this one person had a word, and I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. And I said to that person, that word that they had for me, I said, I don't believe that's from God. But this person was very spiritual and was older than I was and had been in church a lot longer than I had. They didn't go to this church. And I just felt so strange. I was like, I don't know what to think. Like, how could I know? Because this person should know better than me. They're more spiritual than me. They've been in church longer than me. But I just really don't believe that's from God. And so I went, so I came to church and I talked to Miss Cheryl. Y'all remember Miss Cheryl? Amen. She's in glory now. Miss Cheryl, oh, such a blessing. And she helped me to realize that I could be discerning. I didn't have to accept every word that someone had. She's like, "Oh, it's good that you told them that you don't believe that's from God." She's like, "That's good. You can be discerning. You can know if something is from God or not." So a lot of what I'm going to share this morning, I learned from Miss Cheryl. I learned from Miss Cheryl, and that's sweet. So I'm going to share some keys to just being discerning. So if you're a person who takes notes, here's a key. This is a word spoken humbly. A word spoken humbly. So this person that had spoken to me, they really insisted that this was the word of God for me. And I was like, "I don't think so." And they're like, "Yeah, I think it is." I was like, "I don't really think it is." Which made me even more uncomfortable. Just this week, someone I know, this really doesn't happen all that often, but someone this week had a word for me, and this person came humbly, and they're like, I was praying for you, which is beautiful. I'm so thankful. Pray for me. Pray for one another. They said, I was praying for you, and I just felt like the Lord said this, and I just thought I'd share it with you, and you know, I don't know if I'm off track, or, you know, if this is something the Lord's been speaking to your heart, and they just came so humbly, and it was a beautiful word. They were humble. They didn't insist on it. Because you know what? The Word of God is the Word of God. It doesn't have to be forced. Even Jesus, when he preaches to people, he's just like, I'm just preaching what the Father says. I'm just telling you what the Father says. You can take it and do with it what you want, but this is what the Father says. He's not like, you must do this thing that the Father says. Don't you hear the words that I'm saying? You know, what's wrong with you? Let's just wake up. No, he's like, some of y'all are asleep. Jesus is just like, some of you, your eyes are closed, your ears are closed. But some of you hear, so hear the words of the Father. This is how Jesus spoke to us, right? All right, Jesus, in this passage that we're talking about this morning, Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20, Jesus does give us some clear direction on how to discern. It says in verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. Talked about fruits just this morning. Pastor Scott was talking about fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? No. Or figs from thistles? No. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. And it just makes sense. A good tree bears good fruit. If it's healthy, it's going to have healthy fruit. If something is diseased, if something is bad, it's going to have bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree does not bear good fruit, cut down, thrown in the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So the fruit stems from the tree itself. It's what is inside. It is the heart. You and I don't see the heart, but we see the fruit, right? We see the fruit of someone. And so this fruit is their word and their action, and those two should not contradict. The words and the actions of somebody should not be in contradiction. We all know if someone's words and then their actions don't line up, they're a liar, right? That's just common sense. Anyone can tell you that. You don't have to be a Christian to know that. Someone's words and their actions don't line up, they're a liar. So when someone is saying, I'm speaking the words of God, do their words, do their actions line up? Do they line up with the Word of God? Do they line up with the truth of God? I wanted to just kind of make a note here. If you can't observe the fruit of somebody because you don't really know them, then you need to be extra careful when you take in their words, right? So if you meet someone for the very first time, and they say, I have a word from God for you, at that moment, one, you have the Spirit of God. And if at that moment you're like, this is just me telling you heart to heart. If at that moment you think, I just don't feel right about this. I know I have the Spirit of God inside of me, and something about this person is, I just don't know that this is a word for me. From right at that moment, you can say no. You can say no from that moment. I don't care how spiritual that person says they are. You also are filled with the Spirit of God, and you can discern. Okay, but maybe at that moment you're like, it doesn't mean that it isn't from God, so it could be from God. Maybe someone has a word from you and you've never met them before, but you don't have that check inside, and you're like, okay, let me hear what they have to say. And so you hear what they have to say, but then even in hearing what they have to say, you don't know this person. You don't know their fruits. You don't know what their characteristics are, their qualities. Do they carry out the will of God in their own life? Do their words and their actions match up? You don't really know. So what you do at that point is you just say, thank you. And then you take that word and you take it to the Word of God and you take it to prayer and you say, Lord, if this is from you, I thank you for just showing me in your word and confirming your word here. You don't just take anything that somebody has for you. So that we talk about on a personal level, you know, someone comes to you, you've never met them, but guess who else we've never met? We've never met the person probably on TV. We've never met the person that we saw on YouTube. So you don't personally know of their fruit. Now you might have heard of their fruit, you don't personally know. And the fruit is their word in action. Their fruit is not a big following, because they may just have like a really charismatic personality. They have an attractive personality. Their fruit is not how big their church is. They may just have like really good programs and systems and business minded and et cetera. No, that's not the fruit. The fruit is their word, their action. And that's a personal thing that you observe. And if you can't observe it, you do the same thing. You're going to take that before the Word of God. And this is just me talking to you. All right, talking about the fruits. Jesus, when he is referring to these fruits, he's actually alluding to the words of John the Baptist. And this, you can read this. You can, if you make notes, make a note of this. I'm not going to take time to read these scriptures, but this is in Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. John the Baptist is talking about bearing fruit, and very similar into what Jesus is saying right here. And that's interesting, because then Jesus is confirming the words of John, and he's also confirming that. He's like, I'm that person that John's talking about, by the way. I'm that person John's talking about when it says in verse 11, I baptize you with water and repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with a quenchable fire. And Jesus is like, okay. So before that, I talked about the fruits. But anyhow, Jesus is like, I'm that one that John the Baptist was talking about. So, okay, that's important. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, back to our passage for today. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Look at these words that Jesus is saying. Now, we know who Jesus is. We know that Jesus is the Messiah. We know that he's the promised one, but they didn't know this at the time. And he's saying, these people are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And he's calling God his Father. And then it says, verse 22, on that day, many will say to me, Jesus is saying to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Everyone must have been sitting there with their mouths open. Did we not cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? So it's interesting to note that Jesus makes a marvelous declaration here. He alludes to those words of John. He says, I am that one that was coming after John. I'm the one who was spoken about. And he said, these people are going to come to me. So all of the prophets, all of these prophets are then subject to him. That's very interesting. And the people, like I said, at the time must have just, it would have incited a lot of emotion. Maybe some fear, maybe some awe, maybe some hate, some anger, a lot of different emotions. But this is what we see from this. Jesus, he says in this scripture, guess what he is? He is the judge. He is the judge, is what he's saying. You know who are not the judges? We aren't the judges. We aren't the judges. So when it comes to false prophets, Jesus is the judge. We are not the judges. We are not the judges. We are called to be aware, to be on guard, to watch out. Jesus is the one who judges the heart. So even rather than us talking, we don't talk bad about people, we don't try to just remove people from power and move people from these places and call out people and stuff, guess what we do? We look at ourselves and say, am I listening to the word of God? Am I listening to the things that God wants to say to me? We look at ourselves. Jesus, he's the judge. So what is Jesus using to judge these false prophets? He's looking at a couple of things. He's looking at, do they do the will of the Father, and have they practiced lawlessness? Have they done the will of the Father and practiced lawlessness? So it says here, verse 21, the one who does the will of my Father is in heaven. And then in verse 23, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness, which is a lack of law. So what is this? You know, we might think it's hard to identify a false prophet. But here's something. Here's a very simplified thing that Jesus has given us. It's a key to discerning. It's in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And this is what Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Okay, so if we're like, oh, okay, the will of the Father and lawlessness, I've got to know like the whole Bible, and I've got to know all of the law, and I've got to know all of this. How am I ever going to discern if someone really is speaking the words of God? Jesus is like, I got you. Look, all the law and the prophets, they hang on this. They hang on this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he directs us, Jesus directs us back to love. He's always directing us back to love. Always directing us back to love. So when we're looking at people and we're trying to discern and trying to be discerning and trying to know the will of God, we look and say, is this person in word and action? Does everything they do hang on loving the Lord, their God, with all their heart, soul, mind, and loving others? Do we see this? Is this the fruit of this person? Is this the fruit? We should consider in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. If I speak in tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Mountain-moving faith is a good thing, right? It's a good thing. But it needs to be coupled with love. That needs to be at the root. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. So these are all good things here. Speaking in tongues of men and angels, and the gift of prophecy and fathoming mysteries and knowledge and faith that moves mountains and giving to the poor, all of these things are good, but they must be rooted in love. The fruit is not the things that were done, the tongues and the prophecy. The fruit is that love that is shown to others. It's that work of love that sets people free. It's that work of love that takes people and lifts them out of despair. It's that work of love. So all of those things are works of love, are fruits that then, like what Pastor Scott said earlier, the fruit is for others, it nourishes them. So that fruit is going to nourish someone. That love is going to nourish someone. Okay, so these false prophets, they come in sheep's clothing, but it says that they are like ravenous wolves. Which is interesting, and the Jewish people that were listening to Jesus would have thought, ooh, ravenous wolf, I've heard that before. Because there's the 12, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel. They come from Jacob, and in Jacob's last moments, he's blessing all of his sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. He's blessing them. And to Benjamin, Genesis 49, 27, this is what he says. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, devouring the prey, and at evening, dividing the spoil. And this isn't just any kind of blessing. First of all, it doesn't really sound like blessing, but you know, whatever. That's not the kind of blessing I would give my kid. But you know, that's actually an interesting point, because it's not really the blessing that you would expect Jacob to give to Benjamin. Because you know, Jacob, okay, this is Joseph's dad. So first of all, Joseph is his favorite son. He gives him that coat of many colors, and all the brothers get jealous, sell him off into slavery, and bring the coat to his dad. They're like, oh, sorry, he died, you know, and he hadn't, and we know the story. So then Jacob, he doesn't even learn his lesson, because now Jacob's gone. I'm sorry. Joseph is gone, and so now Benjamin becomes his favorite son. Joseph doesn't learn. So being his favorite son, someone that he really loves, is close to his heart, it's really surprising that he would have had this blessing for him. Be like a ravenous wolf, devouring your prey, dividing the spoils. But we can actually see in the tribe of Benjamin, there's some qualities that are quite interesting throughout the Bible. This type of wolf is someone who's powerful. They are influential. Ravenous wolf is influential. Sometimes warlike. This is someone who seeks to satisfy their own hunger at the expense of others. They're interested in personal gain. Now, a wolf is deceitful, so they're not going to say they're interested in personal gain, but they're interested in personal gain. No one gets in the way, and in the end, they're going to have their way, and they're going to see that their own purpose is fulfilled, and they're going to divide their spoils. They're worried about their agenda. They're worried about their pride. They're not worried about other people. They're not worried about loving others. Okay. So, let's look at the prophet Jeremiah. We're going to identify some wolves so we're not led astray. Okay, so Jeremiah chapter 23, this is a great chapter to read when it talks about false prophets. Jeremiah himself, a prophet, is like, hey, beware of false prophets, basically, is what he says here. So verse 1, it says, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. So here is that sheep analogy again. This seems like someone who should be trusted, who would be part of the sheepfold or the shepherd himself. But no, there's a problem. And so from this point forward, Jeremiah has a lot to say about the false prophets. The second part of verse 10 is kind of interesting. He says, the prophets follow an evil course and use their power unjustly. Someone who's using their own power for their own gain. Let's look at some other keys. So Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 16 through 17, just continuing on this chapter, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what false prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you, right? So here's a key to being discerning. In considering whether a person is simply if a person is simply saying what people want to hear. Are they prophesying? Are they saying the words of God? Are they saying what other people just want them to say? So the word of God, it sets people free. It breaks chains of darkness. It's powerful. It's beautiful. And it's often uncomfortable. It's not always what we want to hear. So is this word, when we're being discerning, is it just what people want to hear? So, I talked about a time in my life I was desperate for some direction. You know, I think we all have those moments in life. We just like, I need to know what to do in this situation, in this moment. And maybe it's a big life decision that you have to make. And it can be really easy to fall into a trap. I was talking recently with someone I know. They don't they don't attend Generations, talking with someone. She was telling me about a paid subscription that she has to a ministry organization of prophets. And you could you would sign up for weekly prophecies, and someone on their team would pray for you specifically, and they send you a word of God every week, a word from God every week. So she was telling me about this, and then she was sharing with me that she kind of had something in her heart, and she was just kind of praying about it, didn't know. But then she got this prophecy that had come that week, and it was actually a different direction than she was initially thinking. And she was really considering making a really big, life-changing decision based on this prophecy that had come, that she paid for, that came through this subscription. And, you know, sometimes when you hear from someone, hey, this is good, I've heard of this organization, da-da-da, it's really easy for us to kind of fall in and be like, oh, okay. But when you kind of take a step back and you look at it, it sounds a lot like fortune telling, right? You're going to pay for it. The word of God cannot be bought. Amen. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. No. The word of God, oh, he gives so freely. Don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that. If you need direction, so I told my friend, you can hear from the Lord. I told my friend, you can hear from the Lord. You don't have to rely on someone else. That you can hear from the Lord. You read his word. You listen, even when you're here in church, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. It's not just somebody up here talking and at the same time that somebody's talking, guess what? The Holy Spirit's ministering to you. He has things to say to you right now. Every time you're here, you're listening. The Lord wants to say something. And we can be led by Spirit. And you know what? We need to be patient. Because a lot of times what happens is we get impatient. And we just feel like we have to make a decision. We have to do something. And so then we just go for it. You know? But we need to be patient. And our ladies' Bible study, our Spanish ladies' Bible study on Friday nights, we've been talking about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. Because Abraham and Sarah got a little impatient waiting for God, decided to take some matters into their own hands, got Hagar involved. You can go back and read that if you'd like. But anyhow, this is in Genesis chapter 16, by the way, if you take your notes. So they get a little impatient. You know, things just don't turn out well. Things don't turn out well, which is often the case when we get impatient. I encourage you, don't be impatient. Patiently wait on the Lord and expect to hear from him. Continuing in Jeremiah chapter 23. I'm going to start in the second half of verse 20 and read through 22. It says, in days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Here's a key to discerning. Consider whether or not someone is speaking their own message or if it aligns with the word of God, with Jesus' teachings. Study the Gospels. Study the Sermon on the Mount. Know what the Lord says. Does it align? You can compare this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Let's also say that. Test the spirits. That's good. Let's say it again. Test the spirits. Good. We've got a few of you awake there. To see whether or not they are from God, you got to test the spirits. It says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now, when it says acknowledge Jesus, this doesn't just mean, oh, yep, Jesus, he's God. because even the demons believed that. This is acknowledge in the sense of acknowledging the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, okay? This is the, so it says, those who don't acknowledge Jesus is not from God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Verse 4, I love verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Let's stop there for a moment. The one who is in you, say, the one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. Verse 5, they are from the world, and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world. If they're speaking from the viewpoint of the world, they're not speaking from a kingdom viewpoint. The world listens to them. But we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. So talking here, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. True and false. There are both. Don't think there's only false, and don't think there's only true. Amen. Jeremiah 23, verses 25 through 26 says, I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. This is God talking. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? Just because something looks spiritual, or someone says, I'm a spiritual person, I have a dream, I had a vision, just because someone says that doesn't make it true, doesn't mean that it came from God. So important. They're lying. They're liars. It says, lying prophets prophesy the delusions of their own mind. So here's a key to discerning. Don't assume because it sounds spiritual, it's from God. I wanted to share something that had happened to me some time ago. I went to a conference. And they had a guest minister at the conference. And this guest minister was talking about a discovery that he had. He had gone to this little church, and in this little church there was this really fringe teaching, and he found it really interesting. And so he began to think on this and study this. He considered these people like really spiritual. These people seemed really spiritual. So it sounded kind of to me like he just was like, man, yeah, I want to be spiritual in this sense too. I don't know, we kind of do that sometimes, right? Like, I want to be spiritual. so he began to take this verse that this fringe doctrine was based on. It's in the book of Daniel. And he formed, guys, he formed a whole doctrine on this one verse. A whole doctrine. And he wrote like a whole book. And I hadn't heard of this person before, but apparently, like, he had traveled globally, he had been on TV, and, like, all these things. Like, he was telling us all about himself, so I knew all of those things. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. I was sitting there listening and thinking, this is so strange. I can't really believe what I'm hearing right now. Because I don't see anything of what he's saying in the Word of God. But he's in the book of Daniel, right? And so you might be like, oh, it's been a while since I've kind of read some of the, you know, Old Testament prophets or whatever. You know, I think a lot of times we second guess ourselves, because honestly, I was sitting there kind of second guessing myself. I was like, maybe I'm missing something. And so I was really surprised. So after the conference, after that, I was like, surely I'm missing something, because I really only heard him mention the one scripture. So I'm just gonna find out. Like, what is he talking about? Surely there's like a passage in the Bible that he's like relating things from, or there's like some other scriptures. No, he wasn't. He just took everything from like this one scripture. He pulled in a little scripture here and a little scripture there, but it was not at all based on anything in the Bible. This whole doctrine, this whole teaching that he had, but it sounded so spiritual. Sounds so spiritual. He was at a conference. He'd been invited. A lot of people were listening to this person because he sounded spiritual. It sounded like he had some deep knowledge that other people didn't have. Do you know why other people didn't have it? Because it didn't come from God. That's why. That's why. So we have to realize sometimes people may be speaking from the delusions of their own minds. We have to test it against the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 30 through 32, therefore declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues, and yet declare the Lord declares. Indeed, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with reckless lies. Yet I did not send or appoint them. They do not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord. They do not benefit. They're not bearing fruit that is nourishing people. They're not walking in love that heals, that sets people free. They're not benefiting the people. They're just wagging their tongues. They're just looking spiritual. They're just making themselves look good. Here's a key to discerning. Take extra care. When someone says they are declaring the words of the Lord, that is a big deal. What if someone was saying, I'm declaring the words of Amy, and I didn't say those words? I would not be very happy. What if you put yourself in that spot, of Amy, put your name there? Someone's declaring your word. They're saying, Amy, your name, said this thing, said that thing. They're telling other people you said something. You didn't say that thing. How would you feel? Would you be very happy? Not at all. Not in the least. This is what God's saying. I'm not happy. They're saying that I said this thing. I did not say this thing. I did not say this thing. So we should be careful as listeners. We should be careful when we hear someone speaking and they say, declares the Lord. Did the Lord declare it? Did the Lord declare it? Because the Lord declare it, it's beneficial and it's good. It bears good fruit and it's helpful and it's freeing and it's health to us. But if the Lord did not declare it, it's none of those things. So, in considering these things, do you know the person spiritually? Do you know, personally, do you know their fruits? Have you seen their words and actions? Do they match up? The person that you're listening to, do they do the will of the Father? Or are they practicing lawlessness? Are they humble? Are they speaking humbly? Do the words line up with what Jesus teaches us? Consider their intent. Is their intent to please others, to make themselves look good? Or is their intent to set people free? Is their intent to bring people on the narrow path that leads through the narrow gate? Because those that truly hear from God, they do the will of the Father, they bear good fruit, and that fruit is nourishing, it's beneficial. So we can see in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us, when the Son of Man comes in glory with all the angels and sits on the throne, the nations are before him and he separates the people like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. So verses 34 through 36, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. So when we're thinking about, you know, who we're listening to, now, the miraculous is beautiful. The prophecy is beneficial when it's good, right? It's good, but it has a purpose. And the purpose is to love on others. It's to continue to do the will of the Father. It should lead to these things here. And this that we see in this passage, this is just the everyday, ordinary, beautiful work of the Spirit-filled Christian, of all of us, our responsibility. to show compassion for others, to love others, because when we're doing that, even if we're giving a word in prophecy, if that word in prophecy is in compassion and loving others, that's a good word. When they're freed from demons, that's a good thing that sets someone free, and it's the love of God rescuing someone. Right? It's the love of God. So in ourselves, are we operating in the love of God toward others? Is that our goal? Is that our goal? So here's our final takeaway. We want to identify the wolves. We can see all that in Jeremiah chapter 23. So helpful. It helps us identify the wolves. How we're going to test the spirits. Test the spirits. This is in 1 John 4:1. Remember all those keys to discernment that we talked about this morning. And then really important after we've done that, not to forget this. We leave the judgment to Jesus. He's the judge, not us. We leave it to Jesus. We don't speak badly of anyone. We just guard our own heart. We are going to guard our own heart. And then lastly, we stay the path. As it talked about in Matthew 7:13, we're going to examine ourselves and we're going to stay on the narrow path and we're going to hear the words of God and we're going to be encouraged by the words of God and we're going to be challenged by the words of God and we're going to hear those true words of God and there'll be healing and life and wholeness. And guess what? We will speak the words of God to others and those will be good, and that's where we're called to be. So we want to stay on the narrow path. We don't want to be led astray by deception. Jesus gives us this warning because he loves us. He loves us so dearly. And so we're going to close. If you all would just stand, and I had a scripture I just wanted to read over us before we go. And Pastor Scott didn't know I was going to read the scripture, and he already shared it. It's from Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Wasn't that like the Holy Spirit to bring something back around to our remembrance, right? So I'm just going to say the scripture to you all like this. Blessed are you. Blessed are you who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, who doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But blessed are you, my brothers, my sisters, my family, blessed are you whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law of love you meditate day and night. May you be like that tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. And in all that you do, may you prosper.